Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. On the 26th of May 1919, 26 people gathered on a stormy night in the chapter hall of St Andrew's Cathedral in Sydney for the founding of the Bush Church Aid Society. And Sydney James Kirby was appointed as the first organising missioner. In its long history, BCA has been involved in a variety of ministries, adapting to meet the needs of the people they serve. In 1930, the medical ministries were established. These included bush hospitals and clinics and the Flying Medical Service out of Sojourner in South Australia. Over the past week or so, BCA has been celebrating their 100th year of making Christ known right across Australia. Those who serve with BCA are no strangers to the wonders of God's protection and his answer to prayer. And this is what happened when people prayed for a nurse for the Cooper Pedy Medical Centre. His answer to those prayers was found in me, a newly trained nurse sitting thousands of kilometres away in the Goulburn Base Hospital, where I had been asking God, where can I best serve him with my nursing? So with general nursing and midwifery certificates and a strong faith in my God as my credentials, I was heading off for this place I had never heard of, to run an Outback Medical Centre. Some of you have probably been to the opal mining town of Cooper Pedy. It's quite civilised these days. But in the 1960s, it was rough, it was very remote and populated by a majority of men searching for opal. It was accessible by a long road coming up from Adelaide to Port Augusta. And the length of the main street at Cooper Pedy would be walked on in a few minutes. There were three shops, a couple of hotels and two service stations. If you walked past these, you were on the track to Alice Springs, one direction, and Port Augusta the other. The town was surrounded by mullock heaps and thousands of uncovered mine shafts. The roads into and out of Cooper Pedy were inches deep of thick red bulldust, so much so that if the semi-trailer that came once a month with the mail and food supplies, if it were late, it was reputed to have been sunk down a pothole of bulldust. The water was salty from a water distillation plant, and everyone lived underground in dugout houses where they escaped the extreme heat. The exception was the school, the police station, and the medical centre, all bearing the full brunt of the summer heat that could reach 52 degrees. There was no such thing as air conditioning, and water evaporated coolers clogged up with the salt in the water. Our work consisted of running the medical centre, just two of us, two young nurses. We also had to take the religious education at the school, organise and take Sunday school, and do the domestic chores. We were the ambulance drivers, but no ambulance, only a grey station wagon with a red light on top. And there was a saying around town which said, "What is grey with a cherry on top and two nuts inside?" I think they loved us. We were the cooks. We were the mine rescue people. And to pull someone out of a 25-metre shaft is another story in itself. We were the local vet, leaders of the Bible study, counsellors and support for the one very young policeman. We were the morticians and we were the gardeners, for all a garden was in a desert. We were the mechanics of the 6 and 9 kVA generators that gave us our power. We were in a fairly hostile environment in a mostly male-dominated community of rough miners. But above all, we were in this environment doing these things because we had responded to God's call. We had taken Jesus into the heart of the outback, and in doing so had left behind all we owned to serve him in this community, and the blessings abounded. We were very conscious of the hand of God in the work we did and the power of prayer of so many of the BCA supporters who regularly prayed for us. A considerable amount of the work we did was accident and emergency and mine rescues. The medical centre consisted of an outpatients area, a 2x2-bed inpatient ward, bathroom, sluice room and a veranda. And attached to the building was a small lounge room, two bedrooms for the staff and a kitchen. Outer buildings were a double garage, storeroom, laundry and engine shed, and later additions were a morgue and an obstetric ward. So picture this. Two very young nurses out on mission work to run a medical centre in the middle of nowhere. Our closest medical help and doctor was through a two-way radio to the flying doctor in Port Augusta, 1,000 kilometres away. Never underestimate the power of prayer. BCA told me when I signed up that the hospital at Cooper Pedy was on the verge of closing down because they couldn't find a nurse willing to go there. This would have been a massive disaster for a mining town of 600 people to have no access to medical care. I was unaware of the fact that they had been praying so hard for a nurse when I signed up to go there. I didn't even know, like I said, where the place was. But I did know it was God who had called me to this place, and it was with God's assurance of protection I would follow him there. Life at the medical centre was hectic most days, and I tell these stories for the glory of God. One 75-year-old man told us how he had fallen down a disused mine shaft and would have gone further except for a sheet of iron which had wedged itself in the shaft. His son had found him after 6 days of very cold weather, but despite his ordeal, the patient was in good spirits and longing for a cup of tea. "There's a man of my heart, cup of tea. It fixes everything." He was suffering from exposure, dehydration and suspected fracture of the ankle. He had infected cuts and abrasions. His legs and buttocks were black from the fall and lack of movement. He had a known heart condition that seemed unaffected by the ordeal. While he drank his tea, he told us how he had fought off rats with his hands and he couldn't sleep because they were crawling over him. He said he survived because he was a World War I veteran who had survived the trenches in France. After treating his wounds, we settled him down for the night and he was evacuated the following day by the Royal Flying Doctor. And being lovers of animals and the town being as far from a vet as it was from a doctor, we did all we could to help the animals around town. On one memorable morning, I opened up the front door to the waiting room to be confronted by a man carrying a huge carpet snake. He explained that the snake was his pet and had been sick during his travels around the outback. Because of his concern for his snake, he had contacted the zoo in Melbourne. He gave the snake's symptoms to them and they had diagnosed pneumonia and suggested he go to the nearest hospital for treatment. I could still see that long snake lying across rows of chairs in the waiting room. To say it fell off when I came near it. However, my responsibility was to give the snake an injection of antibiotic erythromycin. And to do this, I had to count down a certain number of scales from the snake's head. Remember that if you have to do it. With the help of the owner, I did that. I did hear from the flying doctor sometime later that the snake had unfortunately died. On another day, I had been out in the town putting a body plaster on a dog that had been rescued from a mine shaft. And when I returned to the medical centre, the other nurse greeted me with a very large grin on her face and looking very pleased with herself. She took me to the nursery and showed me a tiny baby, no bigger than my hand. It was very active and having a great yell. It seemed the patient had come to the medical centre complaining of abdominal pain. She was a very thin Aboriginal from one of the sheep stations and she and us were unaware that she was pregnant. When my colleague asked her to hop up on the examination table, out popped this tiny baby which the nurse managed to catch before it hit the floor. It was about 30 weeks gestation. We bundled it up in bunny rugs, hot water bottles, and rolled it in foil, ready to be evacuated with its mother. The RFDS plane arrived at 3:30 in the morning. This baby survived and gained weight, and 5 weeks later was back at Cooper Pedy, and we watched this little one grow into a healthy toddler. It's all very well telling my tales of that time I served with the Bush Church Aid Society, but the real message I'm trying to get across here is how the work of BCA enabled this mining community to have first-hand medical and spiritual care. It tells of the BCA Society's understanding of the needs in remote areas of Australia and to do something about it. It tells of some of the experiences the field staff had and the brave men and women with their families were prepared to go to in service to the God they trusted, leaving everything behind and risking a great deal to follow their call. BCA, when asked to define what sort of people they were seeking to serve in the remote areas of Australia, their answer was to seek out people with grace, grit and gumption. Somehow I must have fitted their agenda. We saw a BCA clergyman from Lee Creek and his family twice a year, simply because of the vast distance. His parish would cover many thousands of kilometres, dotted with some homesteads and small settlements. They had to be multi-skilled to get them out of difficulty on the road. They had to have stamina, diplomacy, and absolute dependence on God. There are still many people responding to God's call to serve with BCA, and they need all the prayer that we can give them. Their stories still tell of hardship, difficulty, God's love, and joy and peace. When I reflect on the words from the Gospel today when Jesus said to the disciples, John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." Well, I know that peace that comes from God. Well, we all, in serving Christ in the outback, knew that with its intimate assurance that God's peace was with us. David Livingstone said to a colleague who commented to him about the losses and hardship he experienced in his mission work in Africa. David said, "For the one who walks the Christian way, there may be things that the world calls hard, but beyond them all and through them all, there is a peace which the world cannot give and cannot take away, and a joy that no man takes from him." The Bush Church Aid Society operates from Nungalinga Bible College in Darwin to the mining towns of Western Australia, through the centre with Cooper Pedy, Roxby Downs, to Kangaroo Island, Broken Hill, Victoria and Queensland, inland to Yass, Mookham and many more places. There are around 39 centres that BCA minister in across Australia with their various ministries. And we have had some of our clergy from this diocese going out into the outback to serve in this way. The BCA website will give you a great deal more information about the activities which you can engage in or assist with, and some are also mentioned in our bulletin. Bishop Mark served as the director of BCA before becoming our bishop, and the very able Archdeacon Greg Harris from Bendigo Diocese has just been named the new BCA director. In conclusion, I'd like to say that the person who heeds God's call to follow him is greatly blessed, even in times of hardship and isolation. The person who leaves their possessions and families to go and do God's work is blessed. And the person who cannot do these things, but stays at home to pray and support the work of others in this way, are also greatly blessed. There were times when we had to deal with horrific injuries, serious illness, and extremely urgent cases to evacuate. It would seem like an eternity between our radio call to the flying doctor and the arrival of their plane. It was at times like this and many, many other incidences that we are able to feel a mantle of protection that comes only from God. The babies that were born without any complications, those little unexplained coincidences that kept going our way, were all due to the power of prayer and God working in our lives. These were God's miracles at Cooperpedia, and I thank God that he allowed me to share in them. I encourage you to add to your prayer list the work of the Bush Church Aid Society, praying that through your prayers and the grace of God, they will be sustained, upheld, and filled with the peace of God. Amen.